I'd like to call the meeting to order at 6:01. Can we have a roll call, please?
Hey, Chairman Rosenblum, here in the back. Vice Chair Cushing Adams.
This is the heckling room.
Chairman, I'm sorry. Director is not here. Director Woods, here. Director Scheifel.
Thank you. Before we start the public session, I'd like to first introduce our new airport manager, Chris Lynch. And we really welcome you being here.
Thank you very much.
This out. And in you coming, we have to say sort of a sad goodbye to Bob Scheifel, who has served as our interim airport manager for a few months now, and has done a yeoman's job, has done a lot of work and learned a lot about our airport and the inner and background goings and comings of the airport. On behalf of the board, myself, and the community, we'd like to thank you and have a little token of our appreciation.
Thank you.
And for his wife, Mary, we have these lovely flowers for bearing with us, for sharing your husband. Yeah. These times.
And they were a little taken aback at the flower store, and I said, "Thanks for sharing your husband." She's like, "What?"
Thank you very much. Thanks. Lovely. Beautiful.
Any public input? I'd like to move the agenda around slightly. I understand our airport engineer is dying to go back to the paving project that's taking place, so I'll turn it over to Gail and with Eric.
All right. Thank you. I'm going to skip around the agenda, and I'm going to bypass Project 1, which Matt will do after me. But Project 2, the paving maintenance project that is ongoing construction right now. As you can tell, things are progressing very quickly. We've made a lot of changes, but a lot of good, healthy changes to the project that are beneficial, and the biggest thing that we've done is accelerated the process. Continental has gotten some great weather and a good jump on this, and they are really moving the project along very quickly. By the end of today, they will have a lion's share of the pavement done in phase one, with the exception of a modification to the plans, which is we're going to put a section of porous pavement into the center or the drain line of it to promote more positive drainage. One of the feelings that we had during the layout and construction was that it was very flat, and we all knew that anyway. It was very flat, fixed hangers, so we worked with Chris and Andrew DOT to get a modification fit within their allotted budget. We're putting an 8-foot wide, effectively infiltration trench in pavement in the middle of it. So it's going to give you guys the best possible product that we can, which we're happy to provide. Any questions on that?
How does porous pavement work in the winter?
Same as it does. So there's no indications that it will freeze. Unless you get a really flash event where there's water going into it and then it freezes quickly. That's very rare that happens. It could happen. The time where porous pavement fails is when it gets clogged with sand and salt, which those two things are not used in this application. So the amount of maintenance that's required on these types of pavements is very minimal. We're going to put together an O&M manual for you guys and talk with Matt and Chris about the types of operations in terms of stone removal and stuff like that. It'll help promote this being a product well into the future. New Hampshire DOT was concerned originally about it, primarily because they want to make sure it lasts. And the design life for a minimum of 20 years, which is what the FAA standard is, we're confident if it's maintained properly, which means it's not clogged, and you do minimal maintenance on it, that it'll last well beyond. Does that answer your question?
Sure. Well, a follow-up, if I may. What are the plowing techniques any different for this strip of pavement? What
No, you just don't want to use a metal steel edge directly on it. You guys use neoprene edges. There's other applications, like using the sweeper will probably be the best methodology to help get it in and out of there. And the real thing is you just don't want to let it ice over because then you effectively modify the drainage area. Now, the good news is we haven't changed the drainage area whatsoever, so you still have overflow protection. If it doesn't go into the ground, it's going to flow over the ice and into the catch basin system that's already there. So this is really just a more positive drainage in an extremely flat area to solve the problem that exists before, which is one of the reasons why the pavement failed in the first place. Okay.
Thank you.
As you also all have probably heard, we had a minor crisis on Chris's first day, the third day of construction. The G5 down at hangar number 9, sorry, too many hangars, this basket was being tugged over and sunk, but powered through, and then the operator down there went down, put their foot through, and a sinkhole was created. About this big, I think they put a picture in the report.
Yeah.
There's a picture in the report that shows it on page 4. After some investigation, we've come to the conclusion that the drain line that's there, which was not originally in the project, has failed. New Hampshire DOT was actually on site the day that it happened. Chris averted the crisis on day 1. We've actually found that the drain line failed in 2 places, one in pavement and one in between the perimeter fence and that same piece of pavement. So what we've worked with New Hampshire DOT and Chris on is coming up with a corrective solution, which is to replace the drainage line. The good news is, due to underruns in the project, we're confident that it will fit within the allotted grant amounts that you guys have for this. So it's going to be no increased cost at the end of the day, but it will mean that we may not be able to stretch further down like we had talked about with additional payments outside of the original project area. But it's still, that doesn't impact Taxway Alpha. That has nothing to do with this whatsoever. The Alpha ramp, that's still included in the project. But we kind of had some contingencies, some buffers where we originally thought we could push down the inner taxiway a little bit with some additional payment. That's probably not going to be happening because of we're absorbing this with this change.
Are there any other drainage lines that might be subject to failure?
We don't know of any. This one is an indicator. As you look at the line, you can see that there's a crack. We were originally going to be doing crack repair over this, but there's obviously something going on in this line. The sinkhole now evident. That we've actually tried to pump down the structures and haven't been able to get the water out. So there's something going on. There's probably a couple of blocks in there. Water's the pipe probably settled, and water's coming out the joints and causing some erosion, which is causing the sinkhole. So we're going to replace the whole line, open it up, and repair it. It's the old line probably dates back to the 60s. It's combined sewer and stormwater. It's probably clay pipe. We have no records of it, so the only other thing we have is the design information that we have. Existing neighbors, the catch basin, and stuff like that, recreate and fix as part of the project.
Will the brick and mortar drain be replaced?
All the two drains in pavement will be removed, and we're going to add one and tie into the existing drain that goes under perimeter. We're not going to go underneath perimeter. That pipe is, for all intents and purposes, newer because the catch basin closest in the pavement has been replaced probably in the 80s, if I could guess, when that pavement would be done. But we're going to replace that basin, the basin right next to the failure, and tie it all the way back to the one that was done in the next to the Taxway Alpha during the runway project. So that whole line will be branded right to the perimeter fence. Moving forward today, we just got a brand new schedule from Continental. We just got it today, so I'm still deciphering it. As you guys, as I just alluded to, Continental is really progressing things nicely. They are looking to start phase 2 work on May 1st. We are still deciphering what that means operationally in terms of impacts to hangar owners. We're going to be coordinating with Chris this week and talking with Continental about what that means. We're confident that we'll get to you guys the information very soon so you guys can coordinate with the users. Chris and I have been talking daily, nonstop, about operational impacts and stuff like that, make sure the work gets out to all the users and stuff like that. All intents and purposes, things are going great with this project. We've had some minor issues like we always do in construction. We work through them helpfully with the contractor and the FDOT, the airport, and things are progressing very nicely. So, any questions on that project? Project number 2, just real quick, we opened bids last month. We received a low bid from Steel Coating Inc. for approximately $360,000 based on coordination with New Hampshire DOT and funding levels within the region. We submitted a grant application on the airport's behalf, which you guys signed, in the amount of $600,000 on April 3rd. I'll have you guys know that you guys were the one and only airport in New Hampshire to submit your grant application to New Hampshire DOT before the deadline. So, you guys are one and only. Hopefully that means that you get your money earlier. I can't guarantee that because we don't know what FAA has in funding. For all intents and purposes at this point, we're just waiting for funding before we can do anything. As we've all kind of talked about previously, we don't anticipate construction on this project starting until the fall of this year. So that kind of jives with how the funding patterns typically work. We won't get funding probably until August from the FAA and New Hampshire DOT, then has to go to Governor Council for approval, which is sadly about a month process, if not more, depending on where it falls. So we probably won't have funding until September, early October for this project to start. So at this point, other than that, we've talked about the operational impacts and the delays and stuff like that. We will, as we get closer to getting indications on funding, we'll revamp that and continue to work with you guys about the operational impacts and make sure you get the message out to your users. Any questions?
Can I go back to phase two of the other project?
Yes, absolutely.
What do you anticipate? We talked about having public meetings about the actual impact of the project. When do you expect to have those meetings?
Chris, do you want to jump in here?
About our Wednesday meetings?
User meetings.
We haven't discussed that yet.
Yeah, so as we decipher this information and work with Chris, I think we should probably leave it up to Chris on how he wants to disseminate it, probably. Mm-hmm. My guess is you guys are probably going to do the tried and true email blast, but also reaching out to individuals, knocking on doors, and stuff like that. We did meet with some tenant owners in phase two on Monday. Went very well. It was a very active meeting. We're committed to working with you guys to do whatever we need to do to get out and get the word out. We talk constantly about the schedule, where Continental knows that it's important. They're working with us and with you guys to make sure they are minimizing the operational impacts to all of you users. We understand that we are impacting you guys. We appreciate the patience during this facelift time. We do appreciate that because we do need to do it. And the end product is going to be great for you guys at the end of the day. Mike, does that address your question? I think it's more about in real time, truly. I think it's just real time and working. Chris has been doing a great job at communicating with people. He knows everyone out here. So
I was going to say, if I might add, because he asked me, I started calling all the people that we had met with from what we call Corporate Row, because we told them after our Wednesday meeting we knew a better time frame as to when the phase two was going to start. I conveyed that to them. I've called all but two of those people today, and tomorrow I'm going to be calling all the people in the Hangar 7 area that are going to be affected by this. And I've been in touch with several people in the T-hangers. And the e-blast is, we're going to send an email out, but I want to touch base personally with everybody out there over the phone. So that's how we're conveying the information for now.
Thank you.
Also, Michael, when did you have the meeting on with the big jets, the big guys? Monday.
Monday.
Yeah, there was a special meeting on Monday where all the technical issues with the large aircraft making the turns.
I'll get to that with the manager's report. I'll give you the details on that.
As always, feel free to lean on us. Whatever you need from us to convey the message, we'll gladly provide to you guys. We're out here. Next out here is use them as a resource. Use me as a resource, and we'll get you whatever you guys need to get the message out.
Okay. I'd just like to say something. Spent a lot of time out there. A little bit sunburned from it, but we, as in any construction project, we ran into some issues. Like, for example, Director Woods was talking about tonight, they needed to open the doors on his hangar to get into the last few inches up to the foundation of the building because the building actually overhung the foundation. So that's an issue, and it was addressed rather well. The other one was on Hangar 13. When we went out there, we found that they had a very odd defrosting system where electrical cables came out of the building, went down into the ground, went around the building, and went back into the building. And we were able to get a hold of the people who knew a little bit about it, got them to open the building up, determined that it was absolutely useless, dead. They sawed it off at the building and ripped it all up before they as they remove the regular ash surface. So
that was day one. Those are the minor things I alluded to that we worked really short. Yeah. So.
And you're still ahead of schedule. That's good.
Please continue.
That's all I have. You know, if the board or Chris needs anything else, please don't hesitate. If there's any other questions from anybody, feel free. Otherwise, I'm going to head back out to construction.
How long have they been working? Eric, how long have they been working?
Until the pavement meets compaction.
Tonight?
Yes, they're finishing up the pavement tonight, so they'll probably be going. Alpha ran, Taxiway Alpha is closed right now, so kind of in the got to get it all done tonight. So they want to finish up with what we consider lot one of pavement, which goes all the way to Taxiway Alpha.
So paving is done tonight?
Paving for everything except the forest pavement in the middle of it would be done tonight.
Okay.
What is this, day 10?
Yep,
so things are progressing nicely. So.
Thank you.
Thank you all. Have a great evening.
Thank you.
I won't be as long-winded as Eric.
Oh, it's fine.
So the master plan, is right on track. We've completed drafts of Chapter 2, which is the existing conditions, and Chapter 3, which is the existing environmental conditions. I forwarded those drafts to Director Woods for dissemination to the rest of the master plan committee. Due to just personal things, vacations, et cetera, workload, we haven't yet scheduled a second meeting, but that is something that Director Woods and I had a chance to catch up with this evening, and we'll be looking to have that second meeting in the near future. With that, that'll be chapters, after that meeting, chapters 1, 2, and 3 will have been completed. It might be a good time to start talking about having a public meeting and presenting those three chapters, potentially bringing in Chapter 4, which is the forecasting chapter, into the presentation as well for the full board, so you can see what we've been working on, where we're at, some of the plans we've been putting together, and just make sure that the full board is happy with the direction of the master plan at that point in time. We also continue to work on the airport layout plan update. Like I said in previous meetings, that's something that will continuously be appearing on the agenda. As we complete certain chapters, we're able to add more information to those to that ALP. So, be happy to answer any questions if there is any.
Thank you.
Great, thank you.
Okay, let's move over to the minutes.
We have the minute, the public minutes from the March 15th meeting. There have been no recommended changes, so I move to approve the public minutes from March the 15th.
I'll second.
Was that a motion?
No, he said he moved, right?
Oh,
yes.
Yeah,
yes,
moved,
sorry.
I'll second. Okay. So it's removed and seconded. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
The second set of minutes that we have to consider are the non-public minutes from March the 15th, which the board moved to not seal, which means they should be made public. So I move for the approval of the March 15th non-public minutes, which will, after approval, be made public.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you. Moving over to the Treasurer's Report. You have in the packet financial statements. Turning to page 21, which is the comparison to actual to budget. For the month of March, our fuel flowage fees was about $2,800 higher. That is a reflection of a lot of fuel being sold in the month of February. And the state of New Hampshire registration fees was budgeted to receive $50,000 and it actually came in at $56,320. In addition to the snow removal income for the month was about just under $3,000. We had budgeted $6,000, but we are $22,000 ahead of what we had budgeted in the snow removal. On the expense side, the wages are pretty much in line for the month. As you can see, there are some expenses that are under. The actual is less than the budget in benefits and pensions, building grounds maintenance, and on page 23, continuing with the other expenses. We did have a computer expense for the month of $1,800, and that was a chunk of maintenance, software maintenance training time that we had purchased. Otherwise, things are pretty much in line. We had budgeted expenses of $43,000. The actual came in at just over $36,000. So for the month, we're around $6,800 better than budget on the expense side. For the month, we had an actual surplus of $64,000, which compares to what we budgeted of $52,000. So that's $12,000 better for the month, which brings us at a year-to-date surplus of $57,000. And that's about $78,000 better than what we had budgeted. The majority of the good chunk of that variance is a one-time reimbursement from the New Hampshire Retirement System for health insurance premiums that were previously paid and that was refunded. That's for $26,000. So I make a motion to accept the treasurer's report for the period ending March 31st, pending audit.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. I'd like to offer a motion to authorize Airport Manager Christopher Lynch access and signatory rights on all banking accounts for the Airport Authority.
I'll second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. It came to our attention that the city offers to its employees at the employees' expense a vision service plan. We have the ability and option to offer that to our employees as a payroll deduction. And I recommend that we extend and include in our benefit package to full-time employees vision service plan.
I'll second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Communications.
We have a communication from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service giving us our license and permit to take certain protected animals, wildlife, from the airfield. It's a one-year extension of our license. We have a communication from the U.S. Bankruptcy Court in Indianapolis asking us as one of the what's the term?
Creditors.
To approve a 120-day extension in the trustees process. To quote them, it's a very, very complicated case. We opted for a 90-day extension, and they accepted that. So the court has given the trustees, the process has been given an additional 90 days. We have received a communication from New Hampshire DOT approving the Gale Associates fees for the project to groove and seal the runway, which is the one that was discussed earlier this evening and has just been bid on and begins in the fall of this year. That That's all the communications.
Thank you.
Can I ask a question? On this one, on the permit, should we have this change? Because it's dated this month. Should we ask for a change in that permit?
I defer to the airport manager on that.
Chris, on the...
Does that mean you're going to give Chris bullets?
Oh, he has
the permit.
The permit.
Yeah, it says
Steve. It
still has
Steve's.
Yeah, okay, I'll make a change
to
that.
Yeah, I might have that
changed.
Definitely.
Excuse me, what is that? It's the wildlife permit.
It's good till March of 18.
I know.
Yeah, it has Steve's
name on it.
Oh, okay, sorry. Actually, we are the permittee, the associate, and the airport authority is the...
Yeah.
Okay, well, we should clarify that.
Yeah, because it says name and title of principal officer.
Okay.
And, you know...
But the permit is issued to the National Airport Authority.
Right. We'll just ask them to make that small change.
Has that guest arrived?
Pardon?
Has that guest arrived?
Yes.
Okay. Should we... Do you want to
introduce yes. them? Trent? You ready?
Sure.
Okay. You want to come down here? Would you introduce yourself, please?
Yeah, certainly. Thank you for having me, by the way, and I feel bad turning my back to you, so I'm
talking about
just turning my back on somebody.
Why would you
turn your back on
me? Yeah, you can come
over here. Yeah. Don and I, my colleague John Slater and I, were actually talking as we were walking in about the last time either of us was in this building. For me, it was... 7 years ago, and for him, I think maybe six. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I found amongst friends, and I see a lot of familiar faces here, and I have an association with this area and this campus in its previous manifestation. I was a dean of aviation sciences at Daniel Webster College, and John was the dean of arts and sciences at Daniel Webster College. It's a pleasure to be back here. It's a pleasure to be talking to the authority. I'm going to spend just 5 minutes giving you an overview in regards to the institution that I represent and and the plans that this institution has that we believe are very relevant to the airport authority and to aviation as far as the city of Nashua is concerned. I'm the provost of Hellenic American University right now. I've held this position, like I said, for 7 years since I left Daniel Webster. Hellenic American University is the American university in Greece. It's basically an American regulated and structured with American rights university, but it's in another country. There are several institutions like ours around the world. American University of Paris, American University of Beirut. They're all over the world. We're not affiliated with each other. They're not affiliated with each other, but basically we're an institution that follows the U.S. system of education. So we were actually founded here in the United States, and we were founded here in the state of New Hampshire. So these are two key things about our institution. In 2004, by act of state legislature, Hellenic American University became a university of higher education or institution of higher education. We've had an administrative office in Manchester since 2004, and we just moved this office here in the city of Nashua. But in addition to moving this office in the city of Nashua, and I explained to you why, we've moved what we would call our campus, and our strategic planning focuses now in this area, in the city of Nashua. Hellenic American University was founded strategic development of an institution that has been in Greece since 1957. That institution is called the Hellenic American Union. The Hellenic American Union is nothing other than the binational center between the United States and Greece. It was founded by the United States State Department, the Fulbright Foundation, and the AHEPA, which is the American Hellenic Association It's called American Hellenic Educational and Progressive Association, so it's basically the Greek-American lobby in the United States, to promote links between the two countries. So we have a dual nature, in a sense. We are Greek and we're American, and that's reflected in our name. We are accredited by NEASC, the New England Association for Schools and Colleges. Those of you that know higher education in the United States know that regional accrediting agencies are incredibly important in regards to monitoring the quality of higher education. So we are accredited by NEASC. The University of New Hampshire is accredited by NEASC. Riviera University is accredited by NEASC. Harvard is accredited by NEASC. MIT is accredited by NEASC. So NEASC is a very, very important seal of approval, I would say. And we are regulated by the New Hampshire Higher Education Commission, so basically by the Department of Education here in the state of New Hampshire, in terms of what we do in Greece and in terms of what we do here in the United States. And in Greece, we're regulated and accredited by the Ministry of Education, the equivalent of the DOE, in regards to what we do in Greece. So, having said all these things, Hellenic American University is what you would call a not-for-profit, non-affiliated, so we don't have a religious or other affiliation, comprehensive institution. We offer degrees at the associate's level, bachelor's, master's, and one PhD. We have our main campus in Athens, Greece, and our second main campus here now in Nashua, New Hampshire. Why did we pick Nashua? Why are we moving, or why have we moved from Manchester to Nashua? In Manchester, we had an administrative office, and 3 years ago, our board of trustees decided to actually elevate the speed to which we fulfill our mission, meaning the link between Greece and the United States. So they basically mandated to us, the executive administration, the president and I, to create a substantive presence in the United States. Not just an administrative office, but academic programs, classes, students, buildings, and so on and so forth. So this is basically what we're doing. We have created that. We offer already 2 degree programs, an MBA, a Master's in Business Administration, and another master's degree, which is called MAL, Master of Arts in Applied Linguistics. And why Nashua now? We believe that Nashua is a much better city for us to actually build on these programs and grow. That's one thing. And the second thing is that we have a keen interest in aviation. And we believe that aviation education can be promoted and can be developed further in the state, and Nashua is the natural place for this thing to happen. What have we done as far as aviation is concerned in Greece? We have a master's degree program, an MBA with a focus in aviation management. We have a major in our Bachelor of Science in Business Administration, also with a focus in aviation management. And we also have a what we call an aviation and flight academy. It's an academy, and I thought the FAA still run ACE academies here in the States, but I found out that that's no longer the case. But we patterned it after what the ACE academies used to be in the U.S., and it's a national program to actually teach kids, younger kids, about STEM and about aviation, the link of STEM to aviation. So that's basically who we are. That's what we do. And right now, what we're doing is we're transitioning in the city of Nashua. We are hosted at Nashua Community College. Nashua Community College are our friends and partners. As we're doing this, we're actually thinking, considering our strategy as far as the future is concerned. So thank you for having me. I just wanted to make sure that you had an introduction and some idea about who we are and what we're planning on doing. And we plan on being here, and we plan on continuing to have discussions in terms of seeing the feasibility of our plans as far as higher education in the state. And by the way, one thing I forgot, I mean, I had a PowerPoint presentation, but I don't think it's really necessary. Sometimes some things you can say better this way. But We have the way our programs are structured, we have basically programs in business, so bachelor's and master's degrees in business administration, programs in engineering and information technology, so again, bachelor's and master's. Then in arts and sciences, we have languages, linguistics, applied linguistics, translation, interpretation, again, in the bachelor's and master's degrees, as well as music and psychology. So that's the 15 academic programs that Hellenic American University actually has. So,
can you talk about what your vision is with regard to aviation, what you're looking for out of real estate?
Well, we are in the process of considering what our next steps are actually going to be. As I said before, we believe that Nashua would be an excellent place for the development of an academic program, aviation academic program, especially in flight operations. Flight operations is an area that is seeing significant growth, potential for growth, both in the United States, but even more than the United States, internationally. So obviously to be able to do such a thing, you have to be near an airport or at an airport. So that's why we're interested in looking at the possibilities for locating at or near the airport for that. Chris?
You said you mentioned flight operations. Does that mean flight training?
Correct.
All the way through from private to commercial?
But what you would call a collegiate aviation program, yes. That's what we're thinking.
I ask, how many students do you have presently in Nashua? Are they American kids? Are you bringing kids from Europe over primarily? And what's your vision for the size of a program you might want to have in Nashua aviation related?
Our presence here is brand new, and we have very few students in our MBA program. All the students are local. They're not. We don't have students coming from other parts of the world. I believe we do have some applications, but nobody right now that comes from another country. It's very interesting you're asking this question. I'll answer the second part of your question as well. But one of the very important things that that the university does, and it's very dynamic in terms of that, is study abroad. But the study abroad that we do is basically linking the United States to Greece through a movement of students from the United States to Greece that come and stay with us for short periods of time. They study and then they go back to their home campuses. Most of the New Hampshire-based institutions have study abroad partnerships with us because we are part of the academic fiber of the state of New Hampshire. We are very well known in the academic surface of the state of New Hampshire. So the next major group that comes is from New Hampshire Institute of Art, from the University of New Hampshire. So, but this has been moving in the U.S. to Greece direction right now and not in the opposite direction. What we actually want to do is, as we've done with Greece, is we actually want to grow a organic presence, an academic, organic academic presence here in the state. As far as the second part of your question is concerned, the model of our institution is a model based on mentoring. So it's a model that really does not work in big amphitheaters, you know, with hundreds of students or with, you know, let's say 20,000 students and so on and so forth. It's a very personalized model that focuses on mentoring, so our courses are very small. They're designed this way, and the personal relationship between student and faculty member is incredibly important. So our scale is at that level. Now, in terms of projected numbers, we really have not reached the point of actually, being able to tell you a specific number. But whatever happens, whatever we do, it's going to be based on our personal and mentorship model, the one that we have right now.
It sounded, I just want to make sure I understand you correctly.
Yes.
It sounds like your campus is shared with the Nashua Community College. That's your main campus that you're sharing with them.
Mm-hmm.
So physically, that's where you're going to be. Are you planning on having a base, a physical base here in Nashua, building, hangar, something like that? And also, as far as the entry level, the ab initio guys who are coming in private pilot, are these guys that are they going to be part of, specifically a part of the collegiate accredited program, or are you soliciting everyone who's interested in the private pilot, whether they're going for accreditation or not?
No, we are, well, we are right now hosted by Nashua Community College as we are transitioning in the city. This is not going to be a long-term plan. This is a temporary plan. We thought it was a good first step so that we basically get our feet solid on the ground. And in terms of your second question, our idea is one of the creation of a collegiate aviation program, the same way that it exists all over the United States, a collegiate aviation program which basically links academics with flight training.
Okay, the reason I asked this is because there was a prior person or a group of people came in here by the name of Pilgrim, and they said that they initially, they told them directly whether they were going to go and just have a collegiate program without soliciting people off the streets or what have you. It didn't turn out that way. That's why I asked them a more pointed question.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't hear specifically whether you're going to have a physical location. No.
Yes, I said absolutely yes. Yes, that's exactly what we're doing right now. We are examining very carefully the feasibility of where that physical location is going to be. Not if or, but where and when. These are the two questions that are very, very important for us right now.
So anybody that's going to be flying with you is going to be part of a collegiate program, Part 141, I'm assuming.
That's correct.
Okay, and for veterans as well.
Whoever can actually participate in a standard collegiate aviation program, which is basically that's our vision. That's what we would like to create. Yes. So and again, we are a university. Hellenic American University is. I mean, you can, in terms of size, for example, we are as big or similar to the New Hampshire Institute of Art, which is a fairly small size institution that has a very similar model. To ours, very, very personal model. So we are a university. That's what I really would like to emphasize. We're not an FBO or a flight training organization, or we are a university, and we are very aware because we do have knowledge and expertise. I believe in aviation, both in terms of our European knowledge and expertise as well as our American knowledge and expertise. We know what it takes to actually build a program like I described and you asked about. It's not an overnight type of an enterprise, but we actually believe that it's something that can be very beneficial to the community in the long term. Yes, sir.
I like the idea of being beneficial to the community in the long term. I think it's very important. I like, too, that the two of you gentlemen are from the old Daniel Webster College. Daniel Webster had a great reputation throughout the country for producing aviation experts and some great pilots who I've worked with and all over the place and who really did well. Now, you said that this is a private organization. It's a private school. May I ask?
It's private, not-for-profit. So private, basically, we're run by a board of trustees. Like, let's say, again, New Hampshire Institute of Art is run, or by, like, St. Anselm College or, like, Revere University. Well, Revere is and St. Anselm are affiliated with the church. We're not.
May I ask, just in general terms, how your funding works to organize the school, university? Is not inexpensive, right?
It's not. It's that's a great question. It's the same way. The best answer I can give you, the same way that funding works for any other higher education institution.
So grants, endowments, that kind of thing.
Exactly. Tuition is important. Mm-hmm. Professional programs is also very, very important. So are very important. So yes, this is like you take basically the business model of any not-for-profit. Institution regulated in the United States, accredited in the United States, and I would say our business model fits exactly that mold. So we try very hard for high quality at the lowest possible cost to the students.
And you feel that the funding that you have in place will enable the expansion that you're considering here in Nashua at this stage?
Well, this is, it's like I said, it's a decision of the Board of Trustees. The Board of Trustees has authorized the President and I to actually explore these possibilities. So, yes.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me over. Thank you.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Looks like it might have got it.
Okay, so let's continue with the reports. We have in the packet the tower report for the month of March. We had 3,311 as a count. That's down from the prior year by 1,400. I expect most of that was weather-related. So we are 13% behind last year's at this time. So I encourage everyone to enjoy flying in the new weather. Any questions? Okay. Airport manager.
Okay, first of all, I want to thank everybody for the opportunity to be the manager. Getting a lot of support from everybody on the airfield, and especially Bob Scheifel, who spent a lot of time as the interim manager, and he passed off a lot of great information to me. So thank you, Bob. So Eric covered a lot of the stuff that I was going to talk about. We talked about this ahead of time, and he is the engineer. So obviously we have a construction project going on that was kind of, I just started a week ago. So I've been thrust into this, and as you heard, day one, we had the Gulfstream going the sinkhole. So what we did that day to remedy the situation is we actually saw cut the asphalt, and we excavated a section of it, and they tested it with the backhoe and decided that we just pack in some gravel into it, and that way we'd be able to roll the tug over it and get the G5 back out of the hangar. So we took care of that, and that had some approval with Carol from the DOT. It was nice that we had all the people here at Gale Associates, Continental, and Carol the same day. So we took care of that rather quickly. And in talking about the G5, we decided that he couldn't go in and out of that hangar anymore because it just wasn't safe. So what we did, when he gets back next week, he's going to be going out on the main ramp up in front of the tower, on the south side of the ramp. And he also has a need to have power to power up the aircraft occasionally for maintenance issues. And at ANF1, they've agreed to provide power for him. But it was a little tricky out the ramp, so I had to talk with Ron Emond, and he's agreed to move all of his aircraft to the south side of the Charlie ramp. And the other aircraft that are out on the ramp right now, they'll be going back in their hangars in the Phase 1 area. So basically, the whole ramp's going to be wide open, and it's going to be basically his ramp for the meantime until we finish the Phase 2. That way he can easily move his aircraft around for the power-up, and there won't be any issues with other aircraft. We still have room for transient aircraft out along the grass, and also as well as where Ron Emond's plane is going to be north of the Charlie ramp. So there's plenty of space. We can still get people into the restaurant on the weekends, to the pilot shop, to the FBOs, wherever they need to go. The other thing we did is we had a meeting, as Eric talked about, with all the corporate jet owners the other day, and we've determined that they all have a place to go, because we told them as of May 3rd, when I called them today, that they have to basically vacate their hangars, or they won't be able to get those jets in and out. Just wouldn't be practical. I know that Greg's housing a few of the jets, and I believe Nashua Jet has made arrangements with a couple of people. The occupants of the brick hangar are going to be in Hangar 85. So basically, everybody out there is all set. There's a gentleman with a helicopter. He's going out to Sharkies in Lebanon. And so everybody's been made aware of this, and everybody is very happy with the progress that we're making. And it was a good meeting. So that's all taken care of. And other issues that I have going on right now is we're having a problem with Gate 12. We went to do a little upgrade on the cards that go into Gate 12, and it's turned into a minor disaster where it's not accepting the program. So we have a person coming from the security company tomorrow, and they're going to fix the software. So as of right now, excuse me, Gate 12 is inoperative to most cards. We don't know which cards. It seems to be random for some reason. So that's going to be addressed tomorrow. We have an event coming up. It's a Boy Scout Camperee, and it's going to be on May 5th through the 7th. And it's going to be held out in the back 40 by the India Ramp. And this has all been approved by the New Hampshire DOT. It's not going to have any impact really on anybody. It's going to be fenced off, so they won't have access to any of the ramp areas. It's going to be chaperoned by all kinds of adults with Boy Scouts. They're going to have a single person with gate access to that area. And National Emergency Management is involved, so they're going to be keeping an eye on things. The DOT spelled out all the criteria for this because it's a non-aeronautical event, and there's going to be no fires. Like I said, nobody's going to be venturing out onto the ramp, so it's going to be a very well-controlled event. And hopefully they have good weather and they can enjoy themselves, and we can provide that for them. And I've only been here a week, so I really don't have much else to tell you. So I'll do my best to give you more information next month. Thank you.
Does anyone have any questions for Chris?
I understand there was some controversy over understanding where transients can park versus residents park out there. I'd like to suggest perhaps we need some signage or something, particularly since that jet guy is going to be there.
You're talking about where Ron Emond's planes are,
yeah.
That's all been squared away. Ronnie and I had a conversation.
Right.
And we took care of it internally.
I was just going to suggest that, particularly since things are moving around, to avoid future confusion, perhaps a little more signage of some sort out there would be
helpful. Yeah, Ronnie is actually marking his spots as soon as the good weather gets here. He'll mark his spots. And in the meantime, we talked about being good neighbors and you know, just being a welcoming airport.
Sure.
But yeah. His spots will be marked shortly. But that's not something
I don't think that's what he's asking. He's asking if a transient comes on the ramp. Really no way to park.
So I can answer that. I had a meeting with Brian, the tower chief, today. That was one of our discussions. It was about placing the G5 there, moving the other aircraft out, and he is going to do his best to not put transient aircraft on that part of the ramp, and especially not overnight transients. We don't want that there. We're going to bring those, like I said, north of the Charlie ramp where we can fit them in.
Yeah, so I
asked Brian. He's going to implement that. He says occasionally people come in at night, and we don't have a lot of control over that. But it's something we think we can deal with.
Sure.
We're definitely trying to deal with it.
Okay. So to make an additional comment to that, hopefully Brian or some combination of people might consider an OTAM, so that assuming people avail themselves of those things, which we know they don't always do, but at least it would be out there.
Okay. Good point. I'll discuss that with Brian then.
Okay. That brings up a point. In addition to giving our friend Chris here access to all the bank accounts, Farrell knows only too well that the flight service folks need to get notified that he's the man now, because otherwise they won't accept NOTAMs.
Yes,
that doesn't require a board vote. Okay, let's move on to committees. Strategic Planning Committee. There was no meeting this past month, although the committee did get some homework to review the upcoming projects, and we're going to discuss and talk about that in the future. We'll meet again first week in May.
First Wednesday, I think.
Yeah. May I make a comment?
Sure.
Over the past weeks, I've had the opportunity to look at how we remove snow up close and personal. And the piece of equipment that we use on the runway was born in 1979. And we were given it when it was 10 years old from Manchester Airport. And we've had it between 15 and 20 years. This piece of equipment, I don't know if you can see it, it's the one that takes the snow and throws it. And it takes a considerably long time for them to make the passes on the runway. The replacement equipment for that today does it in less than half the time that it takes us to do it. That's one reason why I think we need to look at that piece of equipment. But the other piece is, obviously, a 41-year-old piece of equipment is going to start costing us a lot of money. I've heard Director Wood say, with regard to the CIP, that we probably need to visit it and take a look at it. For example, we have snow removal equipment programmed in our CIP for 2018, $300,000, 2020, $300,000, and then 2023, $300,000. And I think we need to look at the possible acceleration of that. I've spoken with Eric. We're going to sit down, and I'd like to prepare a package and a presentation for the board as to what we have, what we think it's going, when we think it's going to die, and what, if anything, we should do about that. So I'll take that on as a project, and I'll come back. Yes.
So most of that equipment is aged by hours, not years.
Right.
And at three, I know that the last piece of equipment that the airport bought was as part of $500,000. I would think that that could buy a lot of maintenance, since all this is custom gear now.
Well, as a matter of fact, there are no parts available for this. As you say, everything has to be manufactured.
Sure.
If that. But if it breaks down in the middle of a snowstorm, we're going to be in a lot of trouble. So
I agree, and I would hope that, that Chris knows enough about how this gear works to do all the preventative things needed to prevent that. But
we have also, we're doing a little handshaking with Manchester Airport to let them know that anytime they want to hand off any snow removal equipment, we would like to be their first choice.
How many hours on that piece of gear?
I don't know. I don't have the hours.
Can I suggest that your research first go to the Long Range Strategic Planning Committee before it comes to the board?
Sure.
And then we'll sift through it there.
Right. And you'll have an interest in that too.
Okay. Chris, does that kind of equipment have, you know, like a hop finger in it?
It usually does. I haven't looked inside of that yet, but most pieces of equipment do.
Okay. Just curious.
And you know, most pieces of equipment can theoretically last forever, but like Bob said, they start costing a fortune in maintenance, repairs, especially something that you cannot get parts for. Obviously, there's some parts you can get, but there's a lot of parts that you don't, that you would have to have custom fabricated, and that would cost a fortune.
And there is a cost associated with downtime, and it's not available.
Right, which is of a major concern for our airport.
Can I make a suggestion? We've got a great asset. I just bought from like an hour ago. A great asset here at the airport. And with regard to any kind of metal fabrication, pretty much anything, Hachi from Willis is inexpensive, and he has been a professor, and he can fabricate just about anything. So when it comes down to it, and you're hurting for parts, he'd be the person to see right away. He'd be happy to help, I'm sure.
Thank you.
So would people please state their name for the record?
Right.
Do we have a similar arrangement with the Pease Airport for handshaking?
No, I don't think so.
We should.
We may have a history there, though.
Okay. I don't know about that history.
Yeah, we know people on
Greg's over there. I think some of the equipment the airport has had over the years has come out of the DOD surplus chance.
Mm-hmm. Chris, Chris knows about all that stuff, so Chris will start working on all that, and we won't have to do much. That's why we hired Chris.
All right, let's move on to old business. I don't think we have any updates on the...
No, we still have, as old business, we still have these two lease extension requests. Both of these lease extensions are in the office of the city attorney being reviewed. As I mentioned last time, there is a conflict between what the lessee is asking for and what the FAA says is a proper amount of years you can lease property. So we're waiting for an answer. Yes, sir.
What's your perception or what's your reading of the FAA's policy?
The FAA policy states that if you are leasing property and it is and there are is the amortization of real property on it, it cannot exceed the life of the loan or 25 years, whichever is the least. And if there isn't real property on it, the lease should never exceed 20 years.
Okay, thank you.
And as I said, that's being reviewed by the city attorney because in the case of the two lease extensions we have, there are clauses in those current leases that allow them to lease property to execute their lease option, which doesn't gel with what the FAA is recommending. So we need to put them together.
I'll note that you're reading a policy document. That's not actually written into the letter of the contract between you and the FAA.
Correct.
Is there any new business? Okay, we have some upcoming events. Chris talked about the Boy Scouts Camboree, May 5th through 7th. We have the NISS reception on May 11th. We have the New Hampshire Aviation Museum fly-in on June 6th. We also have the Young Eagles event on June 3rd from 10 to 1.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the poker run on June 25th.
Right. He's also offering I think he's calling it Bald Eagles, some kind of a course, and he just put a flyer up today. I haven't had a chance to read it. But if you want to take a peek, he has some hanging around over in his buildings. So I don't know if that's any kind of refresher course for you older gentlemen. I don't know what it is exactly, but...
With respect to the upcoming events, etc., if you've looked on the website lately, you say to yourself, well, why isn't this stuff on the website? We're having a lot of problems with that calendar that's on there, and it's being looked at. But it's if you look at it for the month of April, it's pretty much blank. Why? This meeting is not even on there. Yes?
Wes Lou for the recording. We were getting... I think it's constant contact-based emails periodically, which I suspect over the transition has been dropped. But I don't know whether Chris is going to take that over or not. Since you brought it up, I thought I'd ask.
So we have sent out a few email blasts. I think that Susan knows how to do that now. If not, I can give her instruction in that. Because it's like I gained access to the website and kind of figured it out. I can provide that help to Chris if he needs it. Well, as far as the calendar goes, I think it's actually a Google calendar, and I don't believe that we ever got the password from Steve.
There's a couple of messages floating back to you that need to come back to Susan.
Okay.
was that, you know, a couple of things that I seem to remember that we don't have access to because we lack the passwords is, you know, the airport's Google account, particularly for the calendar, and the airport Facebook page. You know, I don't think that's seen any love for quite a long time. And to the best of my knowledge, Steve and or Mary Beth have the password for that, and we didn't get that.
We will try to remedy that.
Okay.
We also have the New England Gourmet Challenge. Is still on?
Yeah, that's going great. It's going really, really well. A lot of people have already completed it. The prize package from our airport is huge, so people are really excited about that. So New England Flying Gourmet Challenge. A lot of people flying it. It's fun to watch. And with Ronnie's Poker Run, he has a new first place prize, a Bose headset for first place. And then I think there's like seven or eight other prizes after that. So I hope you guys all try to participate in that. It's a lot of fun. And I do a free cookout after. So after you complete it, you know, you come back here and you get my gourmet food and some ice cream.
Can I have the day off for that, boss?
Next item is public input. Okay. Director's comments. Start with Bob.
Okay, well, I would like to acknowledge Bob's contributions once again. Thank you very much. We're very fortunate that you were able to fill in as interim manager. You know, for this winter, and it was certainly an interesting winter. So, of course, welcome to Chris. You know, we're really glad you're here, and we're looking forward to the work that you will do.
You have any list there?
I do. I'll keep it short. Really, Bob, thank you. It's so nice that you just kind of hopped in there and you knew nothing about aviation and you still know nothing. You did such a good job just plugging away and learning things. And really, I gave Chris notes. You notice he didn't mention my notes. But you really, really brought us to a good place, and I really appreciate that.
Good job, Bob.
Yeah, very nice. And Chris, also, I'm thrilled to have you here. It's nice to see that some of the relief will come for the board members. We had a meeting today. Dave Schoeneman, Chris, myself, Bob, and the mayor, and Tim Cummings, talking about our future here and who's interested in, unfortunately, the Webster properties. You know, that's heartbreaking to me that this is all ending after such a long time. But it's nice to know that there are some people interested in continuing the process and trying to make it thrive again. So that was very interesting. I think that's it.
Okay. I have been attending, except for the last meeting, the Nashua Strategic Planning Committee, which includes all the major departments, the airport, and three or four aldermen. And where the airport is being represented, we want to try to get projects and support amongst the city community, and I think we're making headway. Everyone has to work in concert with one another to. We all share the same issues about wanting to have quality education, good infrastructure, to bring workforce development to the city. And so that Nashua is the place to be. And the committee is narrowing down its priorities, and I would expect it to have a report for the aldermen within the next couple of months. I want to say welcome to Chris again.
Thank you.
And thank you very much, Bob, for all your efforts.
If I may.
Sure.
The chairwoman of the beautification committee came to see me when I was still wearing the hat that Chris now wears. And they're very, very anxious to do something at the corner of Sharon and Pine Hill. But I explained to them that we're not really ready to talk about that in earnest yet. I explained what our vision is for that third house that's out there. And basically what she said was that they're really, really anxious to get their hands dirty and to do something. So they asked me what I thought about improving the area along the very far fence that goes along Sharon Ave, where people park their cars and have lunch, and to the very in the proximity of the car wash, which is city property, not airport property. I told them, go right ahead. improve it. Now, what do they want to improve it? Well, they wanted to pave it. I said, they want to replace the parking blocks, you know, that you drive up so you don't hit the fence. And they want to put out some flower boxes and put some flowers out there. So I said, you know, go ahead, do it. So if it looks a little prettier down there, it's because the city gardening clubs, or I'm not really sure what they call themselves, but they wanted to take that on as a project. So hopefully, as soon as it gets a little nicer weather, that you might see some activity going out there.
Thanks. Can I just add a comment to that? We talked some months ago about doing something about that barbed wire along the fence on Sharon Ave, because it looks pretty nasty. We don't have barbed wire throughout all that area, and I think it was determined that that's not really necessary there, and it's more than 20 years old. It can be taken down without any penalty. We talked about that. Was that anything ever decided on that? Do we want to leave that there, or would that improve that look? I think it would improve the look of that section of the airport there to get rid of the barbed wire and the fence on Sharon Ave, that old barbed wire.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
Should we leave that up to the airport manager?
Yeah. We'll look into that.
Okay.
And we'll report back next month.
All right, thanks.
All right. With no other comments, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Well, I will do a motion to adjourn, and I wanted to fill the other board members in on what happened, but we can do that at a different date. Talk with Bill with our meetings, and okay, we don't have to do a non-public for that. Nothing is coming to fruition yet that we have to discuss.
Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Is there a second?
We'll second that.
Motion to second it. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, everyone. The hearing is adjourned at 7:14.
I'm involved in the right of the